Support for this podcast comes from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, presenting A Frame of Mind, a new podcast taking a look at race in America through the lens of the museum's past, present, and future. Available now wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at nelson-atkins.org.
This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. It's hard not to be alarmed when you step outside to 7-degree weather in December or look online to see headlines about floods and fires and earthquakes around the world. Climate change is upon us, and it's taking a psychological toll. So what happens when worry about our environment turns into anxiety, sadness, depression, or even paralysis? Now a conversation about eco-anxiety, what the symptoms are, and how to remain grounded during the climate crisis. With us, Barbara Gilbert is a psychologist based in Lawrence who deals with this issue with her own clients. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Layla Zaidi is an organizer with the Sunrise Movement KC. That's a group that's fighting for a sustainable future. Layla says she's dealt with climate anxiety herself. Layla, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Barbara, how often does climate change and the environment come up in conversations with your clients these days?
Yeah, that's grown tremendously over the years, with good reason, I think. I would say nearly 100% of my clients, if not 100%, have brought it up at some time or another.
100%, you're saying?
Long enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nearly everybody has brought it up at some point or another if I've seen them long enough. For, you know, that's not what they present with coming in typically, although that number is surprisingly high to me, maybe because I'm known a little bit in the community for that. But I would say that's around 5% that that's one of the presenting concerns.
Wow. I'm not surprised that they are, because these days, you know, it feels like to me, because you can never get away from what appears to be the manifestations of climate change in the world right now with the ways, you know, our weather is turning every day. Is that, that's obviously fueling what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I think the other deal was, you know, years when people were trusting a lot less what was going on in the government about climate change and whether it was being taken seriously, whether there was enough attention. I would argue there's still not enough attention, but I think people are a little bit calmer with this administration, honestly.
What are your clients worried about specifically, Barbara?
People raise concerns about, of course, their own well-being and ability to get through whatever's coming. People who are already living in a more financially marginal way are super concerned about, you know, if they lose housing, if food production becomes a problem, all kinds of issues affect the underprivileged a whole lot more. They're aware of that and they're talking about it. They're also worried about whether they want the life trajectory that they plan for themselves, because if something this big is happening, they sometimes consider, you know, is that really how I want to spend my life given this? And that includes not having children. It includes, you know, really examining their hearts to see what they want their life to be about. If it happens to be shorter than they would have anticipated, or than like my generation, I'm in my 60s, we expect that life, and
right,
they don't always.
Well, Layla, you've had your struggles with climate change anxiety. Tell us about it. How has it manifested itself in you?
Sure, Steve. You know, climate anxiety for me has been with me my entire life. When I was 15 years old, I survived the EF5 tornado in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
It destroyed my home. It destroyed my high school, my parents' place of work, and it was devastating. But to be honest, the actual eco-anxiety didn't hit until years later, when I realized at the end of the Obama administration, this country had not actually done much about climate change. And realizing that I had not survived a once-in-a-lifetime event, I had survived an extreme weather event that's becoming super common. So climate change became something that really became the climate crisis, which is the language that I use today, because it's not just about something that's happening decades into the future, but happening next week, next month, right now. I don't believe there's such thing as a fire season or a tornado season anymore. These things are happening all year round, as we just saw last month in Kentucky and St. Louis and other places. So this is really a top of mind for me. And it's become also clear with a political system that is not taking urgent action.
How does it impact you, Layla? How what happens?
Yeah, you know, I sometimes spiral, for me personally, I spiral into watching the news, just kind of, you know, young people call it doom scrolling, but just watching all of the takes on the internet and watching a bunch of people around the whole world say, this is not right. This is not normal. And action doesn't take place. That is kind of debilitating at times. And It can be a struggle.
Has it been powerful enough that it's inhibited your ability to go to work?
I would say it has not inhibited my ability to go to work in the sense that I am an organizer and I'm super, I'm actually using my anxiety in many ways to take action. But the other side of it, though, is that I think a lot of young people are rethinking their decisions around things like going to college, you know, buying homes. You know, the media oftentimes frames our generation as selfish, but I believe we're actually trying to be realistic, and many of our futures are just not going down the same path that I believe my parents' generation or my grandparents' generation could go down.
You know, Layla, you mentioned that Joplin tornado, and I went down there a day or two later when the president came down and toured the damage with Governor Nixon. I'd never seen anything like that before, and I had covered any number of tornadoes because I covered Kansas and Missouri for so many years. That was an event. It's seared on my memory, I think, forever.
Yeah, it was quite shocking. I think what has been a change for me, though, is that I don't really associate that image anymore with the climate crisis in the sense that I see the housing crisis, the student debt crisis. I've learned to see all of these things as just as much embodying the pain of what's going on regarding the climate, because the same system that is prioritizing profits over people is evident across so many things. Everyday people who have to deal with utility disconnects, rising gas prices, what we just saw in New York City and the Bronx of families who had to use space heaters to stay warm because their housing conditions were not adequate. I mean, these things are just as much part of the crisis. And that's why it's so daunting, because that makes you realize that it's so much more than just extreme weather events, not to dismiss the very real fear that comes with natural disasters.
You know, Barbara, I'm guessing that Layla's story is something you hear things like this with some regularity.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm, you know, very glad Layla's voicing so much. She's saying a lot of the things that I would say. I personally realize that part of building resilience for the climate change process that's coming did require me to challenge my own, what I call internalized capitalism. And Layla spoke to that a lot, that we really have to, I think, consider how much the idea that our worth is reflected in what we buy, what we use and consume, and, you know, what our houses and clothes look like. We have to rethink all of that because, you know, if we're going to make a significant change in this process, we have to really change our thinking around those issues.
Based on what you're seeing, Barbara, who's dealing with this? Is it mostly young people, all types of people? What are you seeing?
I guess I would say probably the people that I see at this strongest in, so my specialization is working with people who came from highly dysfunctional families. That's not all I see in private practice. You see everything. But, you know, people who came from those families, when they were growing up, the big people didn't know what they were doing. And now to see this going on, you know, it feels like a giant validation at an even bigger level that the big people don't know what they're doing. So, you know, I see people who are really trying to, so it can be people, young adults who are looking at how to build a life that is sustainable, that is something that's fulfilling, and really feeling like they have to do it themselves because they don't trust the older generations for some good reasons. And then there's also people at other kind of change points in their life. So people in their midlife crisis, people getting ready to retire and thinking about what they're leaving to grandkids. So those mental shifting times seem to be especially a time when this comes rushing in for people.
How debilitating can eco-anxiety be for people, Barbara?
You know, I've seen it really run the gamut from people who are very immersed and want to do environmental work as their career, and everything they learn is showing them the despairing picture, and they can get overwhelmed by that and deeply depressed and even suicidal, all the way to, you know, people just trying to figure out what their part is and feeling guilty for, you know, throwing away recycling that, you know, could be put in the other bin and stay out of the landfill. You know, people are anxious at a wide array of, but it can get that bad that people can feel suicidal and hopeless that there's any kind of world or life worth sticking around for.
Yeah. Layla, how common is this among your friends?
It is quite common. Many of us don't see the possibility of moving forward into having children. Many of us don't see the possibility of even going to, you know, continuing education or doing things that may require a lot of time and require a lot of investment. This can be pretty frustrating and daunting.
I mean, the idea, Layla, that your friends are reconsidering having kids, that's one of those elemental decisions that anyone faces in life. But you're saying that this whole concern about where we're headed as a world is causing some folks even to reconsider that part of their lives.
Yes, it's true. But I want to also say that, you know, the anxiety, it comes in many types of forms, and we can also hold anxiety while we do this work and while we do the work of climate activism. So I really hesitate to lean too far into the climate anxiety in the sense that there's nothing we can possibly do. I think that there's something that I usually fall back on is militant optimism, and this idea that we are going into the future with clarity. We know the reality that if we continue down this path, this is the possible outcome, but there's also another possible outcome here. And I want to emphasize that young people we see the solutions right in front of us, and we see other countries, other communities, even communities right here in our backyard championing those solutions. I think the pandemic has been opening our eyes to what happens when we band together. And that's really clear with the workers' rights movements that are happening all across the country. So it's a conflicting feeling, if that makes sense, Steve.
But it's also the notion that we see possible solutions right in front of us. The pace of our pursuing those solutions at the national level in this country, a lot of folks would argue, is awfully slow. And I'm guessing that produces its own brand of anxiety as you watch politicians in Washington attempting to grapple with all this.
Absolutely. I think that's why I focus a lot of my anxiety personally is the failures of the political system. And we're watching that happen right now with this president, with a democratically controlled Congress and White House and Senate not take action. You know, I always say there's a saying that there's no middle way on climate. It's either we have a livable future and we take action right now to make that livable future happen, because we know we only have, the IPCC says 5.5 years. We only have so little time. In this decade, we have to transform our entire economy. So yes, I definitely think that is the anxiety. I always say though, that a better world is possible. That's our saying at Sunrise Movement. A better world is possible, and everyday people are fighting for it all of the time.
You know, Barbara, I'm no psychologist, but boy, it strikes me that Layla has this thing figured out pretty well. She strikes me as having an awfully healthy attitude about what she's up against every day here.
Absolutely. If I didn't be quiet, I would have been saying, yes, 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 Layla, go. Because that is exactly, you know, there's the despair is, you know, important to take in and process and recognize some realities. but that doesn't get us anywhere different. And the resiliency components that Layla was talking about are exactly what I would work with people to develop, you know, that sense of community and working together, the sense of taking in the reality, but looking for what's in our power to do, and then how do we resource ourselves to do that or get other people to do it, is exactly what we need to, you know, counteract or at least counterbalance that despairing feeling. You know, I think some older psychological perspectives were all about coping. How do you cope? We don't want to cope. We want resilience. We want to, you know, figure out how change can happen. And I like that idea of optimism that Layla laid out. But that, you know, I really want people to hear that we can't do this individually in isolation. We really do need that bonded community effort. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's almost nothing that can take down a bonded community, but there's a lot of stuff that can overwhelm an individual. So I really want to encourage people, as Layla has done, to get involved in however many groups you need to you know, get the support you need to keep your hopes going and figure out what your purpose is, what you care about most, and serve that as best you can. And that's yours. Everybody else needs to do it, but, you know, finding what your piece is and doing it.
Well, we're talking this morning here on Up to Date about eco-anxiety, this idea of the anxiety that builds up inside a person as they see climate change taking over the world and what it means for our futures. Barbara, what would you say to someone who, as Layla was saying a few minutes ago, we're not seeing the pace of change in Washington that so many environmentalists think we need to be seeing right now to save the planet? What do you say to somebody who is seeing that and experiencing it and is overwhelmingly frustrated by it? What can they do about it?
Yeah, I mean, there are probably 1,000 things that they can contribute to in the process. And I don't, you know, take it upon myself to figure out what their part is, but I do walk them through a process. Okay, you heard that news about that E5 tornado. Okay, you heard the news about the wildfires in California. Okay, you saw the mile-wide tornado here, you know, in Lawrence, Kansas City area. What do you feel? What does that mean to you? And when you're feeling and thinking those things, what do you want? What are your longings? And then how can you serve those? And, you know, sometimes I know enough to plug people into certain actions or groups of people who are helping to process through that. And sometimes I need to send them to do their own research. But either way, I think it has to start with what matters most to each individual and let them find their contribution. It's going to take millions of us to get through this. And people just need to find their part. I keep wanting to emphasize that part. Whatever you do, even if it doesn't, your piece doesn't change the world, your piece plus the million of other pieces will.
Hmm. Layla, how important is taking action? And I was struck, I was looking on the Sunrise Movement KC site, and I wasn't sure if it was you or not who asked President Biden a question when he came to town. Was that you by any chance?
No, that was another member of our organization.
Okay. How important is it to take action, whether it's writing letters, whether it's taking part in a group activity? What's been your experience on along those lines?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love what Barbara said earlier about being connected. Being connected to a community, whether that's, you know, organizing or whether that's truly just being connected in the community and to nature, to the planet, however that looks, I think that it's not silly. And I think a lot of young people feel like perhaps it is silly to do that. Perhaps like there's no reason things are doomed, but I would just bring us back to this present moment that we are still here. And while we are still here, we always have a fighting chance. That gives me personally hope. But there are also times when my anxiety is quite high, and I don't think that we necessarily have to solve all of the anxiety. We just have to honor it and find ways to just acknowledge it. So I really appreciate even this segment today, because I think many people write off eco-anxiety as a collective trauma,
right,
when that is what it is. And it's not, regardless of who you are, your background, everyone feels it. And that's a valid thing to go through. So I would definitely encourage people to take action. And if you need hope, if you need a little bit of hope, you know, joining an organizing community can do that. And you don't have to be the loudest person or a person willing to stand up to Joe Biden during his visit to Kansas City to have a place in our work.
Yeah. Barbara, I'm wondering if therapists are equipped to deal with this issue. I'm guessing that climate change anxiety, you know, probably wasn't a huge issue for a lot of therapists when they were going through school. So how equipped are they to deal with it now?
Yeah, that's a really good and complicated question. At least the answer is complicated. You know, I feel like a lot of people, I mentioned this earlier, were taught to train folks to cope as though what they were feeling didn't fit the situation. So trying to, you know, cognitive behavioral techniques to change how they think about it so it's less distressing. That doesn't fit for something like this. You know, I even end up calling it eco-distress rather than eco-anxiety because I think people think about anxiety. Something's not going right. You're not doing it right if you have anxiety. And, you know, the distress that most people are feeling about this completely matches the situation. And that's sane. You know, we don't want to mess up people's perceptions of reality in order to feel better. That doesn't empower anyone at all. And so, I think people have been trained, psychologists and other therapists have been trained about certain resilience practices. And so that part they are doing well. But I think, I ended up starting or getting involved in trying to brainstorm some community programming here in Lawrence, because I think most of the people coming in my office with eco distress didn't need a psychologist for what they were going through, because there wasn't anything wrong with them that they were going through that. And, you know, trying to build a community based group that can help get people a place to process those emotions and find, you know, talking about the thing that matters most to them and how to act on it.
Right.
I think that's a community psychology approach that is most needed. And, you know, COVID got very much in the way of our plans about that. But, we've been doing some things on Zoom through Resilient Activists.
Right.
And some other projects to try to give people an outlet for that. So, you know, in some ways, the task isn't even appropriate to psychotherapists. It's appropriate to community-based intervention. But there are people where that is, because there may be other issues, like I said, dysfunctional families, or maybe they generally have depression and this is just piling onto it. Certainly we need, to be thinking about resilience, not coping as our intervention. And yeah.
We'll have to leave our conversation there. That was the voice of Barbara Gilbert, a psychologist based in Lawrence who deals with eco-anxiety. Layla Azadi also joined us. She's an organizer with the Sunrise Movement KC, a group that's fighting for a more sustainable future. Thank you both for sharing all this morning and talking about eco-anxiety. Much appreciated.